We're going to go right into it today because the sermon, it's really long. Usually, my sermon, I try to keep it within 7,500 words. That would take about 35 minutes to get through. But this week is a little bit more, 1,000 words more. So it's going to take me 40 minutes to get through it. So hang tight, okay? Not a lot of side notes today. We're going to go right into it. Revelation chapter 13. Part 13, you know, preaching on Friday. No, it's kind of weird, right? Everything's all these numbers. If you're a superstitious person, so it falls perfectly. Revelation 13 on the 666, part 13 as we're going through it. So you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 13. If you missed some of the series, make sure you go back on YouTube and listen to it because bits and pieces. If you don't understand the entire book, it's going to be very hard for you to kind of keep up. So make sure you go back and review and study the rest. We are in the second vision inside the throne room, inside the seventh trumpet. And right there, you're like, what are you talking about? Right? Make sure you go back and check out the past teachings of Revelation. I hope that you've been blessed by it. As we stand and read God's word, and the reason we stand is because literally in Revelation, the first chapter, it says, blessed are those who read these words out loud. So our goal is to read the entire book of Revelation together out loud as we go through it. So, Revelation chapter 13, beginning verse 1, the words on the screen, if you need it. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea. And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horn. And on each head, a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonders and follow the beast. People worship the dragon because he has given authority to the beast. And they also worship the beast and ask, who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it? The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies to exercise his authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, although names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Whoever has ears, let them hear. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone who is to be killed with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It has 2 horns like a lamp, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound has been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire coming down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. Because of the signs that it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast, it deceived the inhabitant of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given powers to give breath to the image of the first beast so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has the insight calculate the number of the beast, For it is the number of a man, that number is 666. The word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Everyone, look at your neighbor. Look at their foreheads. Is it there? Is it there? Everyone, look at your hands. Is it there? We're going to struggle through this together, and we'll go home. I want to remind you that we can disagree on the particulars of Revelation and still be brothers and sisters in Christ and can still worship our God. Amen? When God put on my heart to be the lead pastor here at Connect Life Christian Church, it was just Betsy and I in the office. Lewis was very, very part-time working at FAU and just come by and worship on Sunday. This is a growth season for you. I mean, you had a kid, right, Rosie, and then I gave him like 30 new songs to learn this past year. And he preached his first sermon just a month ago. So this is growth season for you, right? But when God called me to be the lead pastor of this church, speaking of tomorrow or Tuesday, we'll be completing my fourth year. So I'm going on my fifth year as the lead pastor here. For some of you, it's bad news because I'm not going anywhere, right? Because fishing is too good here. This is but going on my fifth year, I never thought I would be a senior pastor or a lead pastor to even think that I'm going on my fifth year. But when God put my heart to do this, shortly after, 2 months, December comes around, 3 months, December comes around, there's rumors, there's a virus that's going around. And then a couple months later, the rumors that the world's going to be shut down, right? So by March, COVID-19 has completely put the world at a pause, right? And if you can think back, I can't believe like 3-4 years ago, right? It's crazy, right? Just like 3-4 years ago. If you think about it, during that time, everybody was on edge, and we all asked ourselves a very simple question. Is it the world, what? Coming to an end. Is this it? Is this it? Who is the beast? Is Jesus going to come back? Is the world, God's going to rapture all of us? And did he left me behind because 2021 comes around, I'm still here? What's happening here? Who's the beast? Who is the sixth? We start to look for the mark of the beast, and we're trying to identify who is the beast. And all kinds of theories and ideas that came out of social media and your friends and even some pastors and churches on 666. And some of you, maybe your only association with the book of Revelation is the number 666. You have no idea what anything else says in Revelation. You just hear 666 and whatnot. And some of you guys might come here today or tune in the first time because you heard that we're going to cover the 666. Well, you choose a good week to come. We're going to cover that a little bit, but there's more to it. But throughout history, Christians has always been obsessed with 666. There's this idea of the banking system, right? There's this huge machine. It's hidden somewhere underground, and it has all of your information. The world banking system. And then also there's medical and government records of you somewhere, hidden somewhere. And that's the mark of the beast. And then one time in history, we thought that the UPC codes, right, when you scan, when you go buy things, that's the 666. That's the mark of the beast. And at some time in history, you thought that social security numbers is the mark of the beast because that's how they keep track of you. And then credit card comes along, and we all have one. And now we think the credit cards is the mark of the beast. And then now we have iPhones. How many of you guys have an iPhone? Don't be ashamed. You're like, maybe? Where are we going with this? And then something, it's the Pope, right? Who is the 666? Is the Pope the mark of the beast? Is it Donald Trump? Is it Joe Biden? Is it
Elon Musk? What is it? And at one point, you might remember this in your history, people thought Ronald Wilson Reagan was the beast because his name, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You count out his letters, right? And then his middle name is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And his last name is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So it got me interested. I said, which one of my staff? It's the mark of the beast, okay? So I type in Louis Armitaro's name, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That didn't go, right? So I'm like, okay, we're good. We're safe. And I type in Betsy, right? Betsy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. So 5, 4, 9. And somehow you time 2 to that. That might potentially be Betsy, right? But not really. And then Caden Seitz, definitely not. So he's 4, 5, and then 5. So he's short of, he's just one step short of the mark of the beast, right? So none of my staff members, and not my wife. I wouldn't dare to even look up my wife, right? So I left my wife out, right? And then someone popped up on my head. Let me check out Mike McGovern. So Mike McGovern, he's sitting right here. He can dish it so he can take it, all right? So I love Mike McGovern. So Mike McGovern's name is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? And then G-O-V-E-R-N, it's 6. Then it dawned on me. No, of course I'm being facetious and messing with you. But no, Mike McGovern's not the mark of the beast, all right? So we have all these ideas, and we're trying to figure out who's the 666, who's the mark of the beast. But if you're good at math, right? So I found this as well. If you're good with math, you would figure this out. So here it is. 666 is the sum of the first 36 natural numbers, which makes it a triangular number. Since 36 is also a triangle, 666 is a doubly triangular number. Also, 36 equals 15 plus 21. There are 15 and 21 triangle as well. Whose square is 152 equals 225 and 212 equals to 441. Add to the 666 have different of 216 equals 6 by times 6 times 6. The number of the integers which is relatively prime to a 666 also is 216. You guys catching up right now, right? You're like, okay, I totally get it. Like, that's incredible, right? The number of integer relatively 666, and for the angle measures in degrees, where here is the golden ratio. 666 is also the sum of a square of the first 7 primes, 22 plus 32 plus 52 plus 72 plus 112 plus 132 plus 172, while the number of the 2 primes, you get it, right? If you're good with math, this is it. Like, that is how you figure out who the 666 is, okay? The 27th index unique prime in decimal features a 666 in the middle of the sequence of the digits, whatever that means. So we can spend all morning doing this, and you're going to walk away going, okay, so we have no idea, right? We're going to struggle this together, and I hope it will bring some answers to your thoughts, your ideas, or some things you have learned in the past about the mark of the beast. And you don't have to worry about it either. Okay, I want to first and foremost say that. Remember, Revelation was written for us, but not to us. It had to make sense to the original 7 churches. Remember that. The Revelation opens up to the 7 churches. So it was written to those 7. So whatever it was written, it had to make sense to those 7 churches. Keep in mind, also, Revelation is a love letter from God to us. Right? To those churches, but also essentially to us, which confirms a couple of things, right? One, it confirms that Jesus is King. This is the purpose of Revelation. It confirms that Jesus is King. It encourages the church to stand firm. That's how the letter opens up. To the 7 churches, encourage them to stand firm. The promises to the churches. Remember that some church has 1 promise. Some church has 2 promises. Some church has 3 promises. I think Thyatira was the church that received 3 promises. So the promise of the future and to warn. This is the purpose of Revelation. Confirm Jesus is King. Encourage the church to stand firm. Promise the future blessings. Warn to us that someone is trying to steal our hearts. Revelation gives us a picture that Jesus is the husband and we are the bride of Christ. And it ends with a banquet.
Okay? And like every good love story, there's always an antagonist, a homewrecker, right? You watch any movie on Hallmark, you know, there's always, it's the same. I don't know why we get sucked into these love stories, because it's always the same thing, right? Someone moves away from the whole small town, they came back, they found their old love, but their old love had fallen in love with someone else, or someone's trying to flirt with them, but they're trying to get in between them. It's the same thing, and at the very end, she or he leaves the other lover and they go back to the love that originally left her or him in the first place. The same movie, same storyline, every time we go back to it. But like every good story, there's always an antagonist trying to steal away your heart from God. And this antagonist, you see it in Revelation. So the dragon, so let me review what we just read. The dragon was defeated by the archangel Michael. We heard that last week. It was wounded, but it didn't die. It was swept down to the earth. And now the dragon, it stood half on the land and half on the sea. Okay, this is the picture that we're seeing. The dragon staying on land and sea. And then the dragon kind of fade to the background. But it raises other people to distract you. It raises two other beasts. So the sea beast, right? The sea beast, you see there's 10 horns and 7 heads, 10 crowns on its horn. And on each head is blasphemous name, leopard, feet like a bear and mouth like a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. You know, like Satan trying to do this with somebody else as well. Jesus, hey, I'll give you all this authority. All you have to do is worship me, right? And then he raised another beast, the land beast, 2 horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. So the land beast is this figure of like a lamb, like a Jesus, but it's not. It spoke like a dragon. So Satan kind of fades back into the background, and he raises 2 new beasts to distract us. We also established last week that the Satan wants to be God, and he wants to rule, he wants to control, he wants you, he wants people to worship him, and he's willing to do anything in his power and by any means necessary to steal, to deceive you. He's described by Jesus as a thief, as an imposter, a liar, a deceiver. His goal is to impersonate God. And he did this with somebody as well. Jesus. Aren't you the Son of God? We covered this last week. Aren't you the Son of God? Wouldn't he turn these stone into bread to take care of you? And Jesus says, man shall not live on bread alone. And in chapter 11 and chapter 12, he was defeated by the angel, or Michael, or God's army. And I want you to put your thinking cap on. God existed in 3 persons, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? So that's something we can't explain with human terms, but he exists in 3, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if the beast wants to be like God to deceive us, he wants to match that. So he fades in the background, and he raised the other 2 beasts. So now we have him and the land beast and the sea beast. And this is not the first time we hear this kind of image either. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel had the same vision. The sea beast, the kingdoms, conquerors, conquerors, and Daniel. I think I might cover that for our next sermon series. Very fascinating. So just prepare for Daniel, next sermon series. But Daniel had a similar vision, and it was talking about the nation of Israel, who were going to conquer them, and he even had the timeline planned out. So the lion with wings is Babylon. So right after Babylon, Persia, which is the bear, came and conquered the nation of Israel. After the bear, the leopard, which is Greece, came and conquered the nation of Israel. And after Greece is the dragon, which is Rome, which is the time period that they're living in. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it's worth mentioning. So the timeline that Daniel wrote out matches perfectly with the 4 nations that conquered the nation of Israel. So the time period that they were living in, it's under Roman rule. So this is not the first time we hear of this beast in Revelation. Daniel spoke about it, and they're living in that time. Now, walking along a little further, now in Revelation, John mentioned this in Revelation chapter verse 16. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands and on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has the insight to calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man that is marked 666. This is the difficult part. Right? Who can this be? Who is this person? We've been obsessed with it. We've been trying. Someone sent me notes that they said they've been spending 45 years in studying who the beast is. 666, that is great academic stuff, but I feel like that is a waste of time because everything had to make sense to the original reader. Keep that in mind. The letter was to the seven churches. They have no idea what a computer is or who the Pope is during that time. But it had to make sense. This beast created its own kingdom. Unless you belong to this kingdom, then you can't associate yourself or have the privileges to that kingdom. There is this thing during the time of Rome that rules the world, essentially. They have this old saying that all roads lead to Rome. And this word is called Pax Romana. Pax Romana. It's the Roman peace. And during that time, it was the most peaceful time in Rome. But not because of people were free to have peace. People were actually persecuted and executed if you don't follow the Roman rules. So is that really free and peace? No, that's enslaving. They said 75%, and you can verify that number, but 75% of the Roman street were filled with slaves. They weren't free, and there was no peace. Everyone was afraid of Nero. The outside of the Bible, the guy that was in charge of Rome during this time, his name was Nero, and he would burn Christians as torches to give light to his courtyard. That's how evil this guy was, Nero. So his courtyard was filled with Christians on stake being burned at night to give him light. He would castrate young boys so he can marry them or to live within his living quarters. That's how evil this guy is. And during that time, if you look at this carefully, right, I'm glad you guys are a bunch of educated people here. It took me a little longer to figure this out. It might take you a little shorter, okay, because you're a lot more educated than I am. It says this person, right, it says a call for wisdom to let the person who has insight to calculate the number of the beast. There's this thing called gematria, or where we get the word geometry. Right, gematria is a numbering system to go with the Hebrew alphabet. Can you pull that up real quick? So each letter in the Hebrew alphabet, it's assigned a number. This is an actual thing. This is not something we made up. Right? This is to the Jewish people. This is how they have the numbering system to the letters. The Greek has the same, and then Roman numeral. Have you guys heard of Roman numerals? Same thing. So they assign number to their letters. So that's how we get Roman numerals. So in Hebrew, each letter represents a number. All right. Think of the time in the context that John is writing this. Heavy persecution, right? If he flat out and said Nero's name and he got a hold of it, what happened? He's dead. So he has to write it in his shrewdness, so his people, his letter, because Nero didn't speak Hebrew. He spoke Latin or Greek. And the Greek wasn't even original Greek. It was Koine Greek, which is the street language of Greek. So here's the cool part, right? Some of your manuscript, and I'm not afraid to share this with you, some of your manuscript at the bottom, it says 616, not 666. Because as it's being translated from language to language, it got translated into Latin. And in Latin, the number is a sign, it's actually 616, because the numbering system, it's different. So when you take 616 and you translate it back to Nero's name in Hebrew, as the Jews would read it, they would figure it out, it was Nero. Now, to say all that, to say, this is not the first time we see the number 666 either. It represents a lot more for the Jewish people, because in 1 Kings and in Chronicles, Solomon received 666 talents of gold. For a Jew, 666 represents the rise and fall of kings and nations that turn away from God, or fallen away from God. So when we look at the number 666, the mark of the beast, it signifies those who worship emperors and are opposed to Christianity, and it probably would make more sense that is the letter for Nero, because John has to be shrewd about it to deliver these letters to the seven churches in Revelation. 666 is not an individual that we try to figure out now, or one person. It represents anyone who rebels against God. And that mark will be obvious. That living in that time, and now you can kind of figure out, it will be obvious when someone is opposing or rebelling against God. Now, I am more concerned of the second beast, which is the period that you and I are living in now, which we are obsessing over the number 666. But there's a second beast that Satan rose up that I'm more concerned about, and that's the land beast. It looked like who? Jesus. But it's full of lies and deceit. Can this be false teachers? Maybe even false churches. It described Jesus, the Jesus described these people wolves in sheep's clothing. I am more concerned about the land beast than the 666, because the 666, it's obvious. They stand out in the marketplace and said, I don't believe in God. I'm persecuting you if you believe in God. But the more concern I have is the land beast, who look like Jesus, who sounds like Jesus, who could be comforting and nice like Jesus, but is full of deceit and lies, the impersonator, or using the feel-good, you-are-blessed method to win you over. But it makes you feel good for a moment, but it's stealing you away from God for eternity. And what scares me is the land beast walks among us and we have no idea. Remember, the 666 is obvious. But the land beast that walks among us, which is the time that we're living in now. Remember, Daniel's prophecy is fulfilled through Nero, the Roman emperor. That's gone. For us, the letter to the seven churches, he raised the second beast on the land. The land beast. And that land beast is walking among us, and we have no idea. And Jesus spoke about this more times than we can count. Built your house on the rock, not on the sand. Jesus says, enter the narrow gate. Watch out for false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing. Watch the fruit that they're bearing, because you can usually tell. Keep your light shine among men. He even told a parable that for the 10 virgins to keep the lamps burning, so when he comes back, they're ready. And Jesus often talked about, don't be persuaded by the Pharisees or by the shiny things or by the outer appearance, but test the spirit, test the heart. What are they producing? 666 is not... An an individual or a person that you and I are so obsessed over, it represents anyone who rebels against God. That's the mark, and that mark will be obvious. But we are also marked. Look at your neighbor's foreheads. Literally. I know, some might be bigger than others. Mine's bald. It's okay. Or the right hand. You are also marked. But that is obvious by God. What are you marked with? The blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Entertain me for a second. Oh, I discovered this. This is awesome, right? So the nation of Israel were slaves in Egypt, right? And they're getting ready to go. So Moses told Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh refuses. But in order for God to pick out his people to save them, because the last plague was to kill all the firstborn, Pharaoh could be representing the 666, anyone who is opposed to the kingdom of God, the rise and falls of nations, right? And God ordered Moses to tell the Hebrew people to do what? To mark what? Their doorposts. That's the mark that will save them. And it will be obvious to God that everyone who is marked will be obvious to God, and he will save their children. That's why I said, if you don't know the Old Testament, don't read the book of Revelation. It's very confusing. So he told Moses to mark their doorpost. They have been marked, and it's obvious to God, by the blood of the Lamb. And now you, as Christians, in the New Testament, the pattern of the prophecies is rise and falls of kingdom in the 666. And the purpose of the letters for us to understand, you have been marked by the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. The purpose of Revelation is for us to stand firm, to test the Spirit, to transform our mind, to encourage us to not falter or fallen away. I think Paul said something about by renewing of your mind. There was a blueprint in the Bible for Timothy how to run a church, how to stand firm on God's word. And Paul wrote to him this way, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, "For the time will come," right? "For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears wants to hear." What's scary about this is that we don't know who. The land beast. And there are going to be a great numbers gathering around it. They will turn the ears away from the truth and turn aside to the myths. Our attention has been steered to focus so much on the 666. You guys spend more time studying the 666, but the truth is we should steer our attention and focus on God's mark for us, the body and the blood of Jesus that we receive. You've been sealed, marked through baptism. You know, you think about it, the book of Revelation encouraged us that when the time comes, right, you'll be what? Sealed. Right? You'll be sealed. So if you're sealed by the blood of Jesus, what are you worrying about? Right? The church is not going to escape persecution. That always happened. It happens throughout history. I said this before. But we will be marked when the time comes for judgment by Jesus Christ, when he comes back. That is the true mark that we need to be worrying about or focusing on, is the land beast that walks among us, deceiving us. It doesn't use force. Matter of fact, Satan tempted Jesus without any force, without any imprisonment or enslavement. He actually offered it all to Jesus. You can have this. All you have to do is worship me. I'm more concerned about that than the 666 itself. That you might actually be deceived. Because, oh, they're okay, they're nice. The message is nice. They're so nice to me. They love me, they embrace me, they welcome me. But are they speaking and teaching the truth about the scripture and the word of God? And ask you to look at your neighbor's forehead, because you can't really tell. But God knows if you've been marked by his Holy Spirit or not. And how we mark. But what I love about our church is Lou's come forward. And I'm asked the band to come forward. If you have communion, go ahead and take that out. The mark of the beast will be obvious. And the mark that God has for us, it will be obvious to him. And every Sunday at this church, Connect the Life Christian Church, you are reminded of your mark. That you're a child of God. That you're saved. That you're protected when judgment comes. And it's ingenious by Jesus. Because the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he reminded his disciples, the 12 of them, and he said, this is my body for you. He's literally saying, I know who you are. And you know who I am. And you are reminded every single week here at Connect the Life Christian Church that you are marked. You are saved. You've been bought. That his body replaces your body in judgment. And at the end of the meal, he took the cup. If you have yours, go ahead and open it. So you are also marked with the blood of the Lamb. And some people would argue with me and say, well, you take communion every Sunday, it loses meaning. Well, I preach every Sunday. I hope it never loses its meaning. The church door is open every Sunday. I hope it doesn't lose its meaning. You get the opportunity to give every Sunday. I hope it doesn't lose its meaning. Lewis sings every Sunday. I hope that doesn't lose its meaning. I see Mike McGovern and Paul with sandals on, which I don't care that he wears sandals. Doesn't lose his meaning. Why would the mark of Jesus Christ that saves your life loses its meaning? But nothing else does, huh? Because the name of Jesus is the same as yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I want to encourage you this. You might be scared, or you might heard through Hollywood or the Left Behind series, which is okay with me. And the guy you can see on Facebook, he messaged me and said, hey, I got 45 years to study. And I love him, by the way, and that's great. And I responded to him. I said, the word, it's enough. Because the word of God is enough. It encourages you every day. It keeps you on the right path every day. It keeps you strong every day. And it's God's love letter to you that he says, I will come back for you. Stand firm. You're not going to escape persecution, but that will end. But my judgment will be for the rest of the world, and that mark will be obvious. But I mark you with my body, my blood, through baptism, and you have received that, and it'll be obvious to me. And I want you to encourage this morning. Communion might mean a little different for you this morning because of what you just heard. But the night Jesus betrayed, he says, this is my body for you. He says, do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood, the new blood of the covenant that washes away our sin, is poured out for us. The mark in Exodus that the nation of Israel, the Hebrew people, were saved, the children were saved. The mark for you and I is the blood of Jesus that you to win, you're saved. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. Next few moments, I want you to spend time between you and God. And may communion not just be a things that you just do every Sunday, but a reminder every Sunday that you are marked by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a baptistry. Matter of fact, we have a baptism this morning. You're getting baptized. Go ahead and walk with Betsy to prepare. And the rest of us, spend the next few moments in prayers. Talk with God. He knows you. You are marked, and it's obvious to him. But if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're watching with us online, and you're far away and needs to get baptized and wants to get baptized, reach out to a local church, a local pastor, and get it done. But you're here this morning, there's an opportunity here. I'm going to go change. We have change clothes back there for you as well. You've never been baptized. Get it done. Stop worrying about 666. Worry about your own mark. It's the salvation of the world, the Jesus Christ. Lewis will play a little longer. When the time is right, we'll close the service. But I'm going to get ready for baptism. That's you this morning. Just get up and walk back here, and Bessie will meet you. But don't leave here today not accepting Jesus Christ. Don't turn off the TV right now and not accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. But make sure you do that.